And thank you for also for Madison First being an and with church, not an or but. We choose the relationship we have to be stronger than any preference or desire of style of worship. And that's why we're able to come together. We come together to have church so we can go out and be the church. So it's an honor to be with you today. So I just want to talk with you today. We've been doing the Sticks and Stones series, so I'm breaking off from it a little bit today. I look back, and next week will be the last series, last message in that. And I'm sure some of you are saying, God, thank you, because this has been tough stuff that we've been talking about. But we're going to talk about the scars of life next week. Remember, we talked about the wounds and everything. And so after you make through and through the end of it, many times we have those scars, and what will we do with them? And just to give you a heads up, there's one whom we look to that has scars, and we don't want those scars to go away. Because when we see those scars on his head and in his hands and in his feet, there's a message of redemption in that. And that's how we remember. And we'll look at ours the same way. So we'll look at that next week, and I hope that you'll plan to come and be with us. And we'll finish up, and we'll start on a new part of the series. So let me read you a passage of Scripture, and we're talking about the meaning of greatness. We're going through a big season now, and what we do, and we're talking about great in the business world and aspect. I want to talk to you about the faith-based. This is what I talk about. I don't try to do the politics or anything else, but if you're a person of faith, and predominantly Christian faith, what does it mean to be great in faith, in the kingdom of God? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So our passage comes from Mark, the 30th chapter. It's inside your bulletin there. And so read of what takes place. So Jesus left that place, and he passed through Galilee. Now this is interesting. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. Very simple teaching is he didn't want anybody to know because there was something very important he wanted to teach them. That's why you go off by yourself. We call it kind of a retreat. Right? And he said to them, to the disciples, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. So now, then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, and he asked them, what were you arguing about along the road? But again, they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Okay. And sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and he said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. And then he took a little child whom he placed among them. There's another one where he holds him in his arms. And then he says this, taking the child in his arms, he put him there and puts his arm around him, and he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Now you got to realize back in that time, children were not very valued. Women weren't either. And so children were just more, they just didn't have any worth and value. And whatever there. So let's talk about this a minute. Greatness in the kingdom of God. There was a St. Paul Theology School in Kansas City. They were looking to find a person to come and be deemed, be present over their students. And they had over 100 applicants of folks that came in. And then they had narrowed it down to 5 candidates of who they wanted to come and be over their theological school. And one person came up with a wonderful idea and said, why don't we go and interview the janitor at each of the places where these candidates are currently working? Because somebody came up with the idea of understanding very, very clearly that those who live close to Christ become so secure in their love, all right, that they no longer treat people according to rank and power or money and prestige. They treat janitors and governors with the same dignity of what they do. That person is to everybody, that person is a VIP. Now, children learn this intuitively, and they do it. Christians, we have to relearn that. Something happens to us, okay? So, very telling in verse 32. It says, and I guess if there was a sign that you could put across the museum of all time, they did not understand. When Jesus told them this about what he was going to do and he was going to die and suffer, they didn't understand the first thing. When he pulled them off to the side, he had something very important to say. They should have known it. Maybe they were relaxing, whatever. They had when you call your family in and you go into the living room and you go in there, something's up usually. You pull them off to the side, we want to talk. And so he tells them this, what's going to take place. Right? And then what do they do? That the Son of Man is going to be betrayed and they're going to kill him, and they say all of this. That was the whole plan. He laid everything out before them. You would think that they would be curious. You would think that they would have asked some questions. You would think by now they would have seen the significance of what was going on, but they didn't. They had this blank stare in their eyes, and they didn't understand what he was saying, and they didn't understand what he was talking about and the treasure of this greatness and whatever. And so they didn't ask any questions. They didn't ask anything at all, and they should have. And so what he says here is trying to teach us is how do we get, and this is what I want to talk to you about, people of faith. Because what we do here is how we take it out into the world and what we do out there that makes the transformation of the world as people come into knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do we grow to a point where we no longer measure people by their successes and start regarding people for their service and for their sacrifices? When do we start to do that? So what is this greatness in the kingdom of God? Shakespeare had a play called The Twelfth Night, and one of the characters, Malvolio, says this words regarding greatness. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. Okay, and for a large measure, that's probably true in observation, but it falls extremely short when you start talking about what happens in the kingdom of God and from the Christian point of view. Greatness is neither born in you. Greatness and tragedy seldom come at a time of our choosing, okay? It's not imposed on you. And I don't think it's even greatness is either achieved in the kingdom of God. I think greatness is a byproduct of the deeper qualities of our human nature. So again, I think greatness is a byproduct. It becomes something as we grow and develop in our human nature. So I want to share with you all-inclusive list, but I want to share with you three aspects that I believe of what greatness in the kingdom of God is. That greatness is hardly ever recognized, and that greatness is never about promotion, okay, in the kingdom of God, all right, and greatness is found in service to all. And so I want you to think about this in this aspect of what takes place as we look at it. So, parents today, and I'm not picking on us, but parents, we gladly provide our children with everything they need. We give them all the latest electronics. We give them the up to the grade equipment. Nine-year-olds are swinging $250 bats. And we give them tutors. We give everything, every resource they need. And children should be so happy. They should be so well adjusted, all right? But what they don't have and what they need is that of a listening ear of someone who really wants to care for them. And particularly those dearest to them, their mom and their dads. And also, remember, we are mothers and fathers in the faith. We are brothers and sisters. And to give those listening ears to us. Because what happens is we give all this, if we're not mistaken, we follow this false sense of greatness, and we get too busy, or not now, or here's the other one. You don't understand. I'm working really hard for your good right now. Okay, you remember this? You remember the little poem? For the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of a horse, the rider was lost. And for the want of a rider, the war was lost. And I think it's still true. I think some of that, for the loss of a quiet and the intimacy, not the great things, but the intimacy, a child's primary sense of worth, and a child of God, by the way, a new person who comes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, their sense of worth is lost. And for the want of security and self-want, so that we have what we have, then a child is lost as a result of this. You see, that's the good thing I want to say to you. I don't want to be part of a church where members find it quite easily to walk past youth and children. And that can happen so many times. And I understand the statement, children should be seen and not heard, you know. I don't know. That's not what I'm seeing with this, is what's going on. And I've been at places, and when youth are asked, and a lot of times they don't volunteer for whatever reason, the youth are on committee. Sometimes they get on there, and they're almost patronized sometimes. And little sensitivity is expressed toward them, and making them comfortable and making them feel like they can really contribute. You know, that's our goal, is to be a guide, to be a mentor to them. In the month of October, I'm working with you. One of the things that I want to do is put in everybody's hands my final wishes. And that's where each of you can sit down with your family members and you can plan that. Not all your estate, you do the will with that, but basically upon your death, do you want to be buried? Do you want to be cremated? What kind of service do you want to have? Look at all those things like that. And one of the parts in there I put in there is include your children and teens in this, because you would be surprised how insightful that they are in certain matters and the depth that they have. You know, oh, we don't want to talk to them about this. Believe me, to be able to include them, we miss out on that. They're very, very valuable. All right? You see, greatness is hardly ever recognized, and greatness can be found in these children. Greatness is helping. How did this person put it? Greatness is helping it be what it can be while you enjoy what it is. That's what greatness is. Helping it to become what it can be while enjoying what it is. Matthew 25 tells the story when Jesus said, you know, he comes to the sheep and the goats, and he said, listen, he said, you know, and he tells this parable, and he says basically this. He said, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was sick, and you came and cared for me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. And then he looked at those, and they said, when did we do this? And he said, when you've done this unto the least of these, of one of my own, he said, then you've done it unto me, just as you've done it to one of these brothers of mine. You see, greatness is hardly ever recognized. When did I do that? When did I make this happen? Right? See, greatness is helping, and to be able to do it. Now, there's a humorous side. Sometimes we help folks, and we don't know why. A little boy was walking along with his daddy, and he started asking all the questions. And he said, "Daddy," he said, "How does the electricity go all through those telephone lines and everything go to everything else?" And he said, "Well, I don't know, son. I've never studied much about electricity." And then he goes on and he asks another thing, and he says, Danny, how is it that the cars are able to move off of this and able to roll in combustion and able to go down and do that? Well, son, I don't know. I've never done it. And he asked him about four or five other questions. And at the end of it, he finally looked at his dad, and he said, Dad, Pop, I hope I haven't, you didn't mind me asking all those questions. And his dad just looked at him and smiled. He said, that's all right, son. How else are you going to learn? You know? You know, just do the best you can. Greatness is seldom recognized, all right? But that's the greatness we have. The second part is what I would share in the kingdom of God, is moving up, and we see it all on the glamour of ministry and all sometimes now. But greatness is never about, it's never about promotion. You know, our theme of what we're doing is Hebrews, that we're building. Everybody can build something, but God is the one who builds everything. Life is about building. I think it's more about raising than it is building. And so we all have an opportunity. We can build a family. We can build a good reputation. We can build a good career. Well, we can build a good relationship with God. But some of those things can disappear overnight. with financial ruin or something can happen, a disaster, the unforeseen difficulties. That's what Hank and I were talking about it. This hurricane that's coming in and the devastation that's going to, you know, the Bahamas and everything. We have no idea. Now, by the way, United Methodist Church will be the very first one. We'll get you the information out there to be able to help and support in different ways. But again, all of this can happen in the quickness of a moment. So what are we to do when we have these unforeseen difficulties? All right. So here's what Daniel Webster says about this. He says, if we work on marble, it will perish. If we work on brass, time will efface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble to dust. But if we work on men's immortal minds, if we imbue them with high principles, with just fear of God and love of their fellow men, we engrave on those tablets something which time cannot efface and which will brighten and brighten to all eternity. So Jesus told a parable in Luke 12 about basically tearing down barns and building and keeping all your commodities and all. And he said, what good is it if you gain the whole world, but you in fact lose your soul? In other words, save. You know, John Wesley said, earn all you can, work as hard as you can to earn all you can, to save, to give as much as you can, to save as much as you can. So absolutely to be able to do this. But it's not about storing up treasures for yourself, but not being rich toward God. And so here's what he said in verse 32. He said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, it's never about promotion. It's not about being at the top. It's always about being that teacher. That's what we're on. We're all teachers. William Ward said this, great line. And if you're an educator, this is a great. The mediocre teacher tells. The good teacher explains. The superior teacher demonstrates. The great teacher inspires. It's never about yourself getting all the way to the top. Okay. It's those folks that the greatest folks. Carol Kamak is still one of my greatest heroes. Carol Kamak is the one who taught me how to study the Bible, and she teaches a Bible study in Grovetown and in Renz, Georgia. These are major metropolitan areas. If you've ever been there, I mean, tiny little places down in the little basement of where she was in there, and that was where I learned. And this woman. And the greatness of what she and her ministry has always been known as higher ground. Even after her husband died, she continues to do that. That's the one. Never about being up, you know, and I'm, you know, all the ones that are great on TV that can do it. But I'm telling you, Carol Kamak is the one that taught me the joy and the passion for studying Scripture. And the last one is that greatness is found in service to all. Great story of a Native Americans a long, long time ago. They were... in the state of Mississippi, in fact, and they lived in a very place where the current was very swift and dangerous river, and they were having to escape from those being pursued, and if somebody happened to have fallen into that stream, they would have just been swept away, and that, so when they were attacked by this hostile group of settlers. They found themselves in the back was against the wall. And so what they did, they were outnumbered, and the only chance they had to make it was to cross the river. And then what they did is the strong picked up the little ones, the least, and the weak and the old, and they put them on their back, and they huddled together, and they started making their way across the river, carrying those who were wounded. And when they waded across the water, to their surprise, okay, they discovered that the weight on their shoulders of carrying the least and the lowest helped them to keep their footing to make their way across the river. That's what Jesus is trying to teach, I think, in this, in the meaning of greatness, to his disciples. a great object lesson of servanthood and leadership. He's saying to us, have you lost the joy, the childlike joy and love that your faith once had? I think he'd also say in this message, if you want to walk on secure ground, it's not by throwing other people aside, it's by you carrying them and getting to the other ones to be able to be there. Mother Teresa was known for her great compassion and greatness and her service to all. And she had a group of Europeans that came. You know who Mother Teresa is? If you don't, you need to look it up. Of her life, of showing the real passion for Christ and for others. And so she had these European theologians that came, and they went to Calcutta. And she said, you try to do what I'm doing, and then you'll be able to enjoy what I'm doing. And so she went into one of the centers and she picked up one of the little children that was covered in mud and she kissed them. But none of the other theologians moved and did anything about it. That lack of humility. You know, that was the one thing that Benjamin Franklin did. He put together all the virtues he wanted to accomplish, and when he finished one, he moved on to the next one until he came to humility. And he got to the point that he said every time he thought he'd made significant progress and so pleased with himself, that he became proud as a result of it. He never could quite get it. You see, humility is that elusive virtue. And here's the last part. Here, even Jesus' disciples wrestled with it. He had told them, listen, I'm going to die. This is the plan. The whole salvation is all laid out in this. And instead of asking questions, what they did is they argued about, well, who's the greatest? You know, maybe if he's gone, who's going to take over? And what's going on? And then what he did is he took time to be able to teach him. And he said, listen, if you want to know what's the greatest, he took a child and he put him in his arms. And he indicated that we needed to humbly serve each other just as if we're serving Christ. That's the greatness, to be able to do that. And it has the effect of everybody else about it. They died because they were persecuted and put to death because they would not deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result of it, their teaching is what transformed the world, that we could love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love others the same way that Jesus loved us. So, greatness, we know that. In the world, it may be thrusting power, but not in the kingdom of God. It's not about getting to the top of the ladder. It's a life that's coated with humility and filled with a desire and passion. It's not something thrust upon you. It is something that's a learned character, and it's treating all people with dignity. That's greatness in the kingdom of God. Thank you for letting me share with you. I think we've got a better chance with each other of learning it and going out than we do trying to do a secular world sometimes. So here's the question I want to end it. And praise team, you want to come on back up. And they're going to close us out with a song here. And again, as they lead us, you just follow Randy and his lead of whether we stand and whatever. And I'll give you some instruction at the end of it. But here's the question. If a news reporter comes to you, first thing, if a news reporter comes to you, don't answer them, okay? Sorry if you're in the news. Sorry, Slaybach, if you're here, bad. Sorry, help them. Okay. If a news reporter were to talk to our friends, our neighbors, and each other church members, and ask them to describe us, what words would they use? Would they use the word humble? Here's the second question, and this is tough. Have you aided or have you hindered people around you from being persons of greatness? Have you aided or hindered people around you to become persons of greatness? That's the message of the kingdom of God. God says he recognizes that, and he says, and if you do that, you will build up treasures in heaven that no thief can steal, no moth can corrupt. Rust won't take it away to be able to do it. So that's what I believe the message of the kingdom of God is, and the message of greatness. Deborah and I talk about this all the time. We're surrounded with greatness. It's a joy and opportunity watching you serve and sacrifice with each other, and you inspire each other. Thank you for coming and being here, Daisy. Let me pray with you. Father, so today in our message, as we're able to look, the message of humility speaks to each of us. It doesn't mean to be humble where we grovel and push down. I thank you for great leaders, those that have to step up and take and lead and have to do some tough works in tough times. That's why we always pray for our first responders and our military and what they do. And for God, for each of us, we are people of faith, and our faith is in you. And you call us to a greatness that's different than the world is. And those closest to you, instead of asking those questions of what is it really, they didn't understand. Well, maybe we do a little bit now. And more, will you help us not only gain knowledge, but will you grant us wisdom that we can put application to it in our life, to go back and be as the children, to welcome others just as you did, and to see that greatness. Our minds are even thinking now of those people who were great in our lives. They never maybe were promoted. In fact, they were probably seldom recognized of what took place. But we did, and we thank you for them. May we be those that promote greatness in others the same way we've had that done to us. May it be so, Lord. May your kingdom shine, and may we be stars in that dark universe. In Christ's name, amen.